Teresa Indelak Davis, the Honorary Consul of Poland in Seattle. Our Polish community has performed and volunteered at Folklife for decades. I have personally been involved in Folklife for 5 years, first as a board member and currently as an advisor and community council member. I'm very happy to be here today to introduce the Polish Showcase to you, celebrating this year's Northwest Folklife's theme, The Power of Human Voice Through Song. Songs play an essential part of Polish culture and society. Every tradition in our culture has a song. Birth, marriage, harvest, change of seasons, the beauty of nature. Songs were created for religion purposes, for protest, for love, and lullabies. The folklore of Poland differs depending on the region you're from. The music of Mazovia, for example, which is in central Poland, is famous for mazurka and obeks. And then you move down south to the distinct culture of Tatra Mountains and the songs that have been preserved in that region and in the Lake District in the northwest Poland. The greatest classical Polish composer, Frédéric Chopin, which we're very proud of, composed some of the most beautiful Poloneses and mazurkas, inspired by folk motifs and the struggle for independence. The importance of song and poetry in Poland was preserved throughout centuries. Poland cherishes its musical heritage, enriched and sustained for over 1,000 years. Polish poetry has a centuries-old history as well. Songs were composed to the poems and spoken word for various occasions. Today, you will hear a medley of Polish songs and selection of poems presented to you by a Seattle-based Polish community choir, Vivat Muzyka, and poet Leszek Kudziński. Vivat Muzyka was founded in 2004 at the initiative of Barbara Niesułowska, who serves as a choir manager. The conductor and artistic director is Ryan Mullaney, and the accompanist and musical consultant, Maria Grabowska. Over the years, the group has performed in the US, Canada, and Poland, and they sing traditional, patriotic, cathedral music, folk songs, and popular melodies. The mission of the choir is to promote and appreciate the beautiful choral music in our region. Leszek Kudziński is an established poet who published in Poland, in Japan, and in the US and Canada, and he writes in both Polish and English languages. He is a senior librarian in the Slavic department at the Seattle Public Library. His whimsical and humorous poems come from the collection Mozart and His Orchestra, first recited publicly at the Benaroya Hall in November of 2015. Leszek is thrilled to perform with Vivat Muzyka today. Please welcome Leszek Kudziński and Vivat Muzyka Choir.
Good morning. You doing okay?
So far?
Let's kick it off with the great poem.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Miss Violin. Miss Violin could take on a chin when her shapely chin would get pinned before the bow touched her chords. Her live strings would tremble. No words could express her infatuation with her own sound. If damnation was the price to pay for illusion, heaven and hell were in fusion. Both out of reach, beyond reason, dancing medley to four seasons, from primavera to inverno, from the high heaven to inferno. Miss Violin, a voice of Eden, would sort out believers from heathen, unless she was ready to sell the world for one season in hell. She fell in love with a vagabond, a tall chap with his hair strained blonde, strong hands with a touch of irony, price to pay for being iconic. The stronger his touch grew, his caress, the stronger she would become possessed, but by what could have never transpired if the price had been love or fire. Being consumed by immortal flame, Lut's long strings of hair began to rain, began to shower the happy tears of her desires and unsung fears. Was she singing for him or the art? A demanding muse without the heart? Or was she longing for a duo, a perfect basso continuo?
Leszek is a good sport because we've already gotten out of order by the first thing, and it's my fault. But I'm Ryan Mullaney. I'm the director of Divac Musica, and I want to thank you all for being here with us today. I think this is a wonderful complement of music and poetry together. Not that the poetry and the music are hand in hand necessarily in this case, but I love the whimsical nature of Leszek's poetry and the fact that instead of the words helping define the music, the words that he is offering us, the moods that he's offering us, define the instruments that provide that music. And I think it's a wonderful testament to what we're doing here and to the traditions that we're bringing to you and to the Folklife Festival today. You know, the first song that we sang in its whimsical nature is from Silesia, and it's about young girls deciding whether they're going to marry the coal miners or the steel workers, I think, and who's better, and I'm not sure who's better, and I'm not sure who wins out, but there's this thrill of the chase, there's this whimsy that goes with it, and I think that runs rich in Polish tradition and culture, and I hope you find that as well in the poetry and pairings with the music that we have for you today. The next song we have is a beautiful lullaby, Kovisanka. It's sort of an adult kind of lullaby, but we hope you enjoy it. And thank you so much for being with us here today. On with the music.
Thank you.
She was a pretty debonair. She'd sing for breath of fresh air. She'd forsake heaven and she'd forsake heaven and earth. Wind was her life. It gave her birth. She could live on air alone. It was her drug, lungs, and home. She died without, lived within, came alive when the wind blew in. Always pampered and caressed, she never cared about the rest. She could be quite egotistic, as much as she was artistic. Pretending she was busy, she thumbed Gillespie and Dizzy and wrestled with Charlie Parker until the night got darker. Until she warmed up to his touch and touched his soul, inasmuch as one soul could be touched without being a constant scotch. She'd made Miles Davis go round till his sound couldn't be found, made Satchmo play for the Sphinx to lure him out of his jinx. She could get dizzy and confused with so much wind infused. 'Twas a wonder she played on cue, breathtaking rhapsody in blue. This trumpet was beyond compare. You listened once and you were snared, hooked for life, drugged, mesmerized, paid for her art a hefty price.
Songs are celebratory, and somebody just asked me what that song meant, and I wish we could go through all had time to go through all of that, but we want to get to so much music. So if you have a question, we'll be milling about afterwards. Please do ask us. I want to tell you about that song specifically because it's one of our favorites, Chervonaya Vushko, and it translates the red apple, and I think that's so appropriate for so many songs about longing and love and things like that, because the apple it can be a metaphor. The apple brings us health. It's the apple of my eye. And there's so many wonderful things that the college, especially in Washington State, I would think. Yeah. But it's a wonderful song that we love to sing, and it's filled with energy. That energy of love, I think, is one of the things that fuels us, not just the tender side of it. Next, a little bit more playful, we're going to do, after Leszek reads again, Kukułeczka, and you'll hear the cuckoo bird, the cuckoo clock in that sound. It's a very playful song, and we hope you enjoy that. Stick with us.
Miss Soprano. Miss Soprano was very tall. In fact, she was so tall that all little folk were much smaller than small, which placed on her a heavy toll. A heavy toll to never fall, for it's hard to be reinstalled, to put the monument back in place and have its high heels properly laced, to have all details reassembled so the monument could resemble the diva's previous perfect self. Would she retire on a low shelf, on a shelf of faltered sopranos, where a floor is littered with pianos that once shone and mesmerized? Oh, how time cuts all down to size. How time disfigures and deforms the most splendid voices and forms. How cruel the demon's last call when Miss Soprano is let fall. And Mr. Accordion is here to prove that any time is good for music and poetry. Mr. Accordion wouldn't admit he had a personality split. Not that he suffered much, but still, it undoubtedly confused his will. Was he an organ or a piano, a favorite of Franklin Delano? He'd asked for help the musical board, but they left him to his own accord. Once turned loose, Mr. Accordion expanded like a Napoleon, from Spain to Russia and Austerlitz, ready to stage an assault or blitz. His ever-expanding expansion would give him a physical dimension. It would greatly expand his chest, while the fingers would finger the rest. While the fingers would strike up a tune, never mind what kind, the opportune melody would always be found on the pretense of fooling around.
Yeah.
Mr. Bass has nothing to do with Kukuechka Kuka. Mr. Bass traveled in a compartment twice the size of a small apartment, and since he never ever exhaled, his huge chest was the size of a whale. Yet inside there was nothing but air. All the air Miss Bass could inhale, and he never seemed to have exhaled, kept it inside to lower his scale. The scale that was already so low, his sound emerged from beneath the floor, while he did stand up and fiddled with the seabout or the middle. He delighted in fourths, not fifths, that would remove all doubts and ifs, though his skills were mostly unheeded. He doubled as a bass when needed. When not needed, he'd simply hum. In his sonorous voice, he'd thrum, gently plucking in pizzicato. Matter of choice, not obbligato. Mr. Falsetto was short for his height, so to reach the high notes was a plight. Though falsetto was an octave higher, he stood on his toes like John Mayer. Mr. Falsetto's true voice was false. To many, his voice was simply noise. High pitch minus coloratura, written off by nomenclatura. A voice without an English name. Of course, the Italians are to blame for shifting voice into higher gear. For to reach falsetto, dagger and spear that pierces your ear, summons a tear, invokes an inner frenzy and fear. A tenor that's from somewhere higher, a place to which man can aspire. Mr. Falsetto's life was complex. Either he could sing high or be exed. To withstand this tremendous pressure, he would often hide in a dresser. Then one day he was discovered. He loudly sneezed and blew his cover shortly before his voice expired. Falsetto, pathological liar. And now another stands on his toes, rather calloused, deformed, and morose, only to reach the heights of falsetto, to go down in flames in a stretto.
Yeah.
Miss Soprano, they said wouldn't be complete without tenor. Mr. Tenor. Mr. Tenor was worth every poster that was skillfully used to bolster tenor's great image and market share. For life is a stage beyond compare. Beyond compare was his voice like a bell. Whether he sang for Joyce or Adele, for Tosca, Aida, or Juliet, once he sang, they couldn't say niet. They couldn't boo, for they all wooed. They all knew tenor wasn't taboo. He had a market share and a price. It's dreadfully sweet to sacrifice. To throw oneself at tenor's bare feet was not a weakness, act, or defeat. It was trembling that was resembling the highest act of descending. But Mr. Tenor couldn't care less, for his lover is descending, unless descending increased his market share. For life is a stage beyond compare. Undiscovered, Mr. Baritone worked for the Deutsche Grammophon. He went mostly undercover for not being yet discovered. For his talents, and with his talents undeveloped, he doubled as a gray enveloped. Double folded in the middle, always playing second fiddle. On the verge of folia d'amore, always bested by tenore. For tenore was universal, even during a rehearsal. Betrayed by an unjust libretto, he dreamed of a long stiletto, of a dagger and just revenge he could exact right on the stage. Right on a stage, he'd even discord and claim his beloved, his amour, to avenge the historical scorn that's befallen the baritone. To injury add an insult, his plans were dashed in an instant. The dagger got replaced by a form supplied by the Deutsche Grammophon.
We get everything in and get to the next act. But I do want to make a plug for our group. First off, that... Okay, great, thank you. So Never mind, we have a little bit of time. But we are Vivat Musica again, and my name is Ryan Mullaney, I'm the artistic director. We rehearse on Wednesday nights at the Polish Home Association, and we would love to see you. Talk to one of us afterwards. I think we're going to keep going with rehearsals, but for the summer, they get a little bit thinner, but we hit the ground running in the fall, and it would be wonderful to have you all. We'll have a plug for the Polish festival here before we finish, but again, please feel free to ask us. We have very noticeable costumes, as you can see, and it would be wonderful to have, especially tenors and basses, as you can see, in the group. The last song that we just did, Vemoyum Ogrodecku, is, again, about love, about a girl wondering whether the love that she's looking for will work out in her life. I want to thank you all so much for coming. We have one more number for you and a couple more poems, but you've been a wonderful audience, and thank you so much. Let us know if you'd like to join the group.
Miss Toccata. Miss Toccata loved to be touched. In fact, she loved to touch so much that without the touch she wouldn't play. But once touched, she couldn't say nay. She would unwind, and once unwound, she would define the bound and unbound. She would demand of one's fingers the swiftest of swifts, not lingers. For Toccata to flourish and lust, the mastery of hand is a must. Nimble fingers, lithe and witted, so no note would be omitted, skipped or lost in rapid succession, where touch is the sole possession, where the air comes alive with touch, where Miss Toccata is born as such, where J.S. Bach took Toccata to new levels, to new strata, where she cannot be touched or missed, while all else stays floating amiss. And the last of my poems today is titled Miss Sweet. Of course, it's a collection of dances, but I would like to think it's also a collection of poems, and I'd like to think that you enjoyed that suite of mine. Miss Sweet. She wasn't created too sweet. Miss Sweet was born during ennui. She'd taken her sweet time, le temps, before she had hope, dance, and stomp. Miss Sweet could have danced all night, and before the night took flight, she would have danced the whole suite till she was fulfilled and complete. She would have danced the element at the royal court, la courante. Then sarabande at least three times as long as gavotte wasn't danced. She'd continue with polonaise for which she'd won a handsome praise and jumped straight into menuet, disguised under a sobriquet. Before Miss Sweet did her last gig, for she loved to close with a jig, she glided above la bourrée. Now, wasn't Miss Sweet enchantée? Thank you.
Muzyka performing for you, and Leszek Hudziński reading his poem. If you would like to hear more Polish songs and experience Polish culture, please join us at the Polish Festival here at the Seattle Center on Saturday, July 9th. And for any other events and activities throughout the year, please come to the Polish Cultural Center located in the Capitol Hill neighborhood in Seattle. For over a century, in fact, the Polish American community here in Puget Sound has been active locally and is proud to present Polish culture and traditions here at the Seattle Center. Thank you all to that support the Northwest Folklife and to Northwest Folklife for making it possible for us to perform at the Seattle Center. And please remember to support Northwest Folklife with your donations. It is a nonprofit year-round organization that creates opportunities for all to celebrate, share, and participate in the evolving cultural traditions of the Pacific Northwest. There is no admission charge, but you can leave a donation, suggested donation, of $10. Thanks again, and enjoy the rest of the festival.